Rice. The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Gary S. Katzmann presiding before court number 23-00143, Asia Wheel Company Limited et al. Versus the United States et al. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiffs?
Jay Campbell with White & Case here today on behalf of plaintiff Asia Wheel.
Ting Zhang with the law firm of Mayor Brown LLP, representing plaintiff intervener C.C. Roberts.
May it please the court, my name is Stephen Suskey from the United States Department of Justice, and I represent the United States. And with me is Danielle Cossey of the Department of Commerce.
Nicholas Burke, Chairman Associates for Defendant Intervenor Agtrade Corporation.
Good afternoon. Counsel, please be seated. Welcome. We are here, of course, in the case of Asia Wheel Company versus United States, 23-00143. Counsel, of course, have received and responded to the court's letter of October 25th, 2024, and as a pre-Thanksgiving gift, we thought we would provide you with a few more questions, and I believe counsel has received them today, again, to facilitate the argument. As we know, the process that I follow is that basically you've each received the responses provided by the other side, so to speak, to the October 25th letter, and this is your opportunity to respond to those answers. I also understand that counsel has divided up the time as the letter of October 25th suggested, so that Mr. Campbell, for the plaintiff, you'll go first, 23 minutes, and then Ms. Zhang, for the plaintiff intervener, 2 minutes, then for the government, Mr. Ticini, 20 minutes, and then Mr. Birch, 5 minutes. Now, as is my custom, since we're all here, I may very well provide you with the opportunity for a follow-up oral argument response after you hear the arguments here, not more than 2 or 3 minutes. As is my custom, I will provide counsel with the opportunity to file a post-argument, oral argument submission of not more than 1,500 words, and that would be due on November 22nd. And that's largely in response to what you hear today. So without any further ado, Ms. Campbell.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Again, for the record, my name is Jay Campbell of White & Case, here today for Plaintiff Asia Wheel. We appreciate that you provided us with questions both a couple weeks ago and today, and I will turn to those in very short order. I would like to make a very brief opening statement.
Please do.
Okay. We'd just like to reiterate that we maintain that Asia Wheel's truck rules are outside the plain language of the scope, as interpreted by Commerce during the original anti-dumping and countervailing duty investigations. And also, we maintain that Commerce's finding that Chinese origin discs were not substantially transformed when they were converted into finished wheels in Thailand, but that decision is unsupported by substantial evidence and not in accordance with law. I will get into both of those items as I answer questions, but we'd just like to reiterate that we maintain those arguments and also rest on our briefs. Regarding adequate notice, it's important to remember, well, it's important that Commerce's actions below during the scope inquiry actually demonstrate the lack of adequate notice. After considering the plain language of the scope and the K-1 criteria, Commerce determined that that text and that prior scope determination were ambiguous, were not dispositive, were ambiguous with respect to whether Asia Wheels truck wheels were subject to the scope of the orders. That, and in addition to that, Commerce took nearly 2.5 years to answer the substantial transformation question. Those actions on their face demonstrate the lack of adequate notice to importers that Asia Wheels truck wheels, which consisted of only a Chinese origin disc, were subject to the orders. At minimum, the importers had reasonable grounds to believe or conclude that the wheels imported, the truck wheels being imported from Thailand, manufactured by Asia Wheel in Thailand, were outside the scope. And it would be profoundly unfair, given the lack of notice, to impose retroactive duty liability, as Commerce's actions would do if sustained in this case. So I'll turn now to, Your Honor, the first question. I'll turn first to the questions you posed today, or you issued today.
Thank you.
Starting with question one, the first question directed to plaintiff. The question is, you suggest that Commerce misspoke or exhibited flawed reasoning in stating that the totality of the factors considered in our substantial transformation analysis were against finding that the rims manufactured in Thailand are substantially transformed. Do you have any support for this suggestion? The support is simply logic. Commerce's statement does not make any sense, and it does not support its conclusion that the wheels manufactured by Asia Wheel were not a product of Thailand. By its statement, Commerce recognized that Asia Wheel manufactured the rims in Thailand, and then Commerce concluded that those rims were not substantially transformed. Well, those findings would mean, or would weigh in favor of the finding that the country of origin of the rims, well, that means that the country of origin of the rims must be Thailand, and that finding weighs against finding that the country of origin of the finished wheels are China. And I'll rest there on question one. Question two. I'm just restating the question. You argue that statements made in another case cannot provide the level of certainty required for adequate notice. Does this contradict the Section 251 K1IC factor, stating that the Secretary may consider previous or concurrent determinations when determining whether a product is covered by the scope of the order, including prior scope rulings pertaining to the order at issue, as well as the orders with the same or similar language as the order at issue? Respectfully, I don't think that that is quite what we said. We argued that the trailer wheels record, the Asia Wheel 1 record, did not provide adequate notice to importers of truck wheels. And then we also stated that the question of adequate notice must be based on the record of the orders at issue. But we did not say that scope determinations in other cases may not be considered. They can be considered, but that's not the same as a finding that scope determinations in other cases provided the adequate notice required under Thai AO, the Federal Circuit's decision. Moreover, in any event, Commerce's scope determinations in the original investigations in both trailer wheels and truck wheels did not provide adequate notice that wheels made in a third country with only Chinese origin discs but wings manufactured in third country are within scope. And commerce itself, as I mentioned previously, commerce's actions below demonstrated the lack of adequate notice by finding that the scope of the orders, even after considering the K-1 criteria, were ambiguous with respect to Asia Wheels truck wheels.
Council, just to drill down for a moment, and this focuses on 2A, and you've begun to answer that question from your perspective. But as the supplemental question notes, and with respect to Asia Wheel 1, point to Asia Wheel 1, that U.S. submitted excerpts of the ADCBE orders and the final scope memo from Asia Wheel 1 as exhibits to your request for the scope ruling. So the question is, even where plaintiff themselves provide the language and argues that it is relevant, are you maintaining that it cannot provide sufficient notice?
Well, Your Honor, we submitted the trailer rules 1 scope determination on in our scope ruling request for the truck rules case as additional evidence that Asia Wheels truck wheels are outside the scope. So, yes, we submitted the trailer wheel scope determination as relevant, but it was the opposite. The point we were making is it's the opposite of adequate notice. Adequate notice would mean that trailer wheels indicates that the trailer wheels case indicates that the truck wheels are clearly within the scope. But we were making the opposite point to commerce. Certainly, a prior scope determination in another case can be relevant, and that's true under the K-1 criteria. But we were not, by any stretch of the imagination, asserting to commerce that trailer wheels somehow provides adequate notice that Asia Wheels truck wheels are covered under the scope of the truck wheels orders. We were making the exact opposite argument. So we submit that relevance of prior scope determinations with respect to other orders may be considered by commerce under the K-1 criteria, but they are not necessarily evidence of adequate notice. That's a different question. I think we just addressed question 2A, so I'll move on to question 3. And Your Honor states, what do you argue would have provided adequate notice in this case? If the plan related to the scope itself, or commerce's, or a prior scope determination by commerce had plainly stated that truck wheels manufactured in a third country remain subject merchandise if only the discs are of Chinese origin, that would have provided adequate notice. But that is not at all the circumstances of this case. In fact, again, we submit that the plain language of the scope indicates the opposite. It states that, again, the question in this case is whether Chinese origin discs, after being converted into a wheel in a third country, meaning that the wheel is imported in the United States, is subject to the scope. The plain language indicates the opposite. The third country processing provision states that if a disc or a wing is further processed in the third country, and that further processing would not remove it from this scope if otherwise performed in China, then that disc or wing would remain within the scope. That's not the facts of this case, however. What we have is the Chinese origin disc isn't merely being further processed in Thailand. Much more is going on. Asia Wheel is actually manufacturing the rim, and that takes multiple production steps as outlined in our brief. In addition to that, Asia Wheel welds the rim, the Thai origin rim, to the Chinese origin disc, and then coats and paints the finished wheels. That means that the plain language of the scope does not apply. This is not an instance where a Chinese origin disc is being further processed in the third country, we have a different scenario altogether. And that's reinforced by further plain language in the scope, which states that booms and discs from China are within scope if they are railroaded and painted in the third country. Meaning both the winds and the discs must be from China under that scenario. And here again, we only have discs from China. Secondly, Commerce's interpretation of the scope in the original investigation further corroborates this interpretation of the scope, because the respondent, the Zhang Jingwu, the Chinese manufacturer, actually argued to Commerce originally the scope language, third country processing language proposed by the petitioner, said that winds and discs are within scope if welded together and painted in a third country. And Jingwu, the respondent, argued to Commerce this language is overly broad, and it could extend to cover merchandise that is really third country in origin, and so there should be clarifying language. And Commerce agreed with that, and Commerce added the from China language, the winds and discs from China. So that's more evidence that the wheels in this case were only one of the wheel components, the disc, actually originates from China, but the wheel is otherwise manufactured in the third country. That's further evidence that that such wheels are outside the scope. Again, third, Commerce itself determined or indicated that there was lack of adequate notice in this case by virtue of the fact that it determined wrongly, we submit, that the plain language of the scope and consideration of the K1 criteria are ambiguous with respect to whether Asia wheels, truck wheels are within the scope or not. And that's why I performed a substantial transformation analysis. Not only that, but in response to our argument below that Commerce did not provide adequate notice of Asia wheels, truck wheels being subject to the scope, Commerce stated that adequate notice with respect to Asia wheels, specific truck wheels in question in this case, was provided as of May 12, 2021, the date of initiation of the scope inquiry. I will now turn to the questions that we posed to the other parties a couple of weeks back. Starting with question one. That states, the scope language indicates a third country processing provision expressly, including winds and discs that have been further processed in a third country. In interpreting the scope language, Commerce has suggested that a plain reading of the scope language in question reflects that winds, discs, and wheels further processed in a third country are covered. Is Commerce's interpretation consistent with the plain scope language? We would say no. Commerce's interpretation is not consistent with the plain scope language, but that doesn't really matter here. That's not really relevant because, you know, we don't dispute that if the wheel had been Chinese origin and a wheel was further processed in a third country, is that wheel within scope or not? We're not disputing that, and that's not our argument, or that's not the issue here. The issue here is whether a Chinese origin disc alone when it is further manufactured into a wheel in a third country, whether that wheel important to the United States is subject to the scope or not. So again, we submit that it's odd wording by Commerce, but it's not really relevant in this case in our opinion. In the defendant's answer, the defendant noted that the processing at issue in this scope case was not addressed in the Commerce's original investigation scope determination. We disagree with that statement on two grounds. Number one, the manufacturing Asia Wheel undertook in Thailand is not mere processing of a Chinese origin disc. It is Asia Wheel manufactured a rim and then welded the rim and the Chinese origin disc together and finished and completed the finished wheel. So that is not mere further processing of a Chinese origin wheel component. It is actually manufacturing that means that the wheel is outside the scope. And again, as I stated earlier, Jingwu did raise the question during the original investigation, because Jingwu argued to Congress that unless that scope language rings and discs rather than building in a third country is clarified, the scope would be overbroad and expand to include potentially third country origin wheels where either the rim or the disc originates from China, but not both. Question 1A, the scope language here, including rims and discs that have been further processed in a third country, differs from the equivalent scope language in Asia, in the truck wheels place, including rims, discs, and wheels that have been further processed in the third country. Should this difference in rating lead to different results in Asia Wheel 1 and Asia Wheel 2? We would argue no. Both cases involve the issue of Chinese origin discs being converted into a complete wheel in a third country. And in both cases, the result should be reversal of Commerce's scope rulings, including Asia Wheel's wheels in the scopes. In its answer, the government argued, answered no, and pointed out that both orders include the including but not limited to clause, and also the clause that further processing of a Chinese origin wheel component would not otherwise remove the merchandise from the scope. Again, I reiterate that what's going on in Thailand is not mere further processing of a Chinese origin disc. It's actual manufacturing of a rim and then manufacturing a complete wheel with a Chinese origin disc. So the further processing language does not even apply.
If you look at, counsel, the defendant intervener's response, and perhaps you'll be weaving that into your presentation as well. So the defendant intervener says, at the bottom of page 2 of the response to the questions says, most importantly, this is not a question that this court need answer to resolve this proceeding. Commerce did not address wheels from China assembled rims and discs finished in a third country. It addressed the assembly of Chinese rims and discs in a third country. Plaintiff did not challenge Commerce's determination regarding rims and discs assembled in China, only Commerce's determination regarding third country assembly of Chinese rims or discs. As Commerce's determination regarding third country assembly of Chinese discs and rims was consistent, this is what the defendant intervener says, with the language of the scope and supported by substantial evidence, this court would need to affirm the challenge of the determination. However, the court would review Commerce's additional inclusion of wheels in the language used in its determination memorandum. Could you respond further to that?
Again, I think as I indicated earlier, or tried to indicate, we don't dispute that if a Chinese origin wheel was further processed in a third country, that wheel would remain within scope. But that's not the issue before this court. The issue before this court concerns only a Chinese origin disc.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Question 2. We suggest that Commerce, in conducting its substantial transfer, we mean directed to the defendant, in conducting its substantial transformation analysis, determined that finished wheels processed in Thailand using discs from China and a rims it produces in Thailand are not substantially transformed, such that the country of origin of Asia Wheels truck wheels is China. Is this contradicted by Commerce's conclusion in the final scope ruling that, quote, we find that the country of origin of such inputs is China, and thus they remain subject to the orders after processing in Thailand? Does finished wheels have the same plain language as inputs? No, finished wheels and inputs do not have the same plain meaning, and really the distinction points to the irrationality of Commerce's final substantial transformation determination in this case, or analysis in this case, because again, the question is not the country of origin. The question in this case is not the country of origin of the Chinese origin inputs. The country of origin question refers to the finished wheels imported into the United States. So Commerce's indication that the country of origin of the imports, in this case Chinese origin discs, was China, that's really not the question. And here I refer your honor to the Court of National Trade's decision in Pure Van, which addressed a similar scenario where in that case the court recognized it was a substantial transformation case, and the court in that case recognized that despite Commerce's determination that there was not a substantial transformation, the court recognized that in fact none of the parts, the case also involved ADCD orders on paper grade bands from China in that case, and the court recognized that in that case there wasn't a single part or input of Chinese origin but imported into Thailand, the third country in that case, that shared the same essential characteristics as the finished paper roller bands that were imported into the United States. We have the exact same fact pattern here, the pertinent part, because a Chinese origin disc is the only component that's Chinese origin. It was imported into Thailand, but the finished article imported in the United States is a ruler, and a disc does not import the essential, does not share the essential characteristics as a finished wood. Question three, and I recognize I'm behind, but can Commerce's statements in a similar scope ruling provide adequate notice in a different but substantially similar case? I think as I stated earlier, certainly a scope determination for a substantially similar product at issue can be a relevant consideration under the K1 criteria, but that decision, that scope determination would not necessarily provide adequate notice to importers of different merchandise covered by a different order, particularly when the similar scope ruling addresses different products. And again, what matters here is that in this case, Commerce's prior scope determination in trade wheels, Asia Wheels 1, did not provide adequate notice that Asia Wheels truck wheels are covered by the truck wheel orders. In fact, we would submit as plain as in that case as well, but in trade wheels, Commerce's prior scope determination in the original investigation underlying that case also did not provide adequate notice that Asia Wheels trade wheels were covered. In fact, it provided the opposite. I feel I'm out of time.
Since you're on a roll, I'll give you three more minutes. And the other side will also have three more minutes, and then a plaintiff intervener.
Okay.
After Mr. Campbell. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
With the hope that you'll be able to get through the...
I'll do my best. I'll try to be quick.
Questions, yeah.
In response to this question, the defendant...
Which question are we at?
Still on question three.
Great. Okay.
Still on question three. In response to this question, the defendant does not speak of notice of possible scope coverage in a future determination as if that were adequate notice. And that is inconsistent with the Federal Circuit's holding in Thai AL, as followed by this court in Trans-Texas Tire. That is not adequate notice. A statement of intention to address a scope issue in the future is not adequate notice in the present that can justify retroactive application of anti-dumping and countervailing duties. The government also cited the Supreme Court's decision in Lane and the Federal Circuit's decision in Suntec regarding adequate notice, but neither one of those cases is on point, and it's very telling that in their written answers to Your Honor's questions, neither the government nor the defendant intervener actually cite the relevant on-point cases addressing the adequate notice standard, Tire and also this court's decision from Trans-Texas Tires. So turning to question three, it seems for the sake of argument that Commerce provided sufficient notice in Asia Wheels 1 by its statement in the block quote. Did that statement provide adequate notice here, given that the products in each case are substantially similar? And the answer is no. First of all, Commerce did not provide adequate notice, even in the trade wheels case. Again, we represent that, in fact, Commerce provided the adequate the opposite of adequate notice in Trader Wheels case, because it answered the question and indicated that if only a rim or the disc originates from China, in a wheel that is otherwise manufactured in a third country, that wheel is outside the scope. And second, it's important that, again, Commerce in this case did not find that trailer wheels somehow provided adequate notice to importers of truck wheels from Asia Wheel that the truck wheels are within the scope. Again, Commerce indicated that the opposite, that the plain language of the scope and the KLM criteria were ambiguous with respect to that question, and that's why Commerce conducted a substantial transformation analysis in the first place. To summarize, I would say that in response to all of the questions, the error that the government and defendant intervener repeatedly make is that they do not frame the adequate notice issue correctly. They do not cite the proper standard as articulated by the Federal Circuit in Tower Error. They ignore it altogether. And I'll conclude there, and thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. The court will hear from Ms. Zhang.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Kim Zhang here, representing Plaintiff Intervenor, Deepin Rubber America, which joined Plaintiff's counsel in thanking you for issuing the written questions to us in advance. And we just want to take a few minutes to address the questions issued today and directed at us. And the first question asks, CC Rubber argues that the statements made in another case cannot provide the level of certainty required for adequate notice. Does this contradict the 19 CFR section K11C factor? Plaintiff's counsel has addressed this question and we agree with those arguments. One may argue that didn't Asia Wheel suggest in the scope request that Commerce interpretation of the scope language in Asia 1 was relevant here? In fact, it appears that Asia Wheel 1 submitted excerpts of the ABCDD orders and final scope memo from Asia Wheel 1 as exhibits to their request for a scope ruling. Even where plaintiffs themselves provide the language and argue that it is irrelevant, you maintain that it cannot provide sufficient notice. Yes, we maintain that position and our arguments are the same as plaintiff's counsel. The second question asks, you suggest that there are material differences between Asia Wheel 1 and Asia Wheel 2 and points to the size of the tires covered and the vehicles that use the relevant, relevant wheels. How do these differences suggest that Commerce analysis in Asia Wheel 1 would be different from their analysis in Asia Wheel 2? Respectfully, we want to clarify that the mentioning of wheel sizes and users in our answers is meant to highlight the fact that Asia Wheel 1 and Asia Wheel 2 are two different cases with separate records. And that should matter when you define the issue of adequate notice for the purpose of a retroactive assessment of duties. Importers involved in the Asia Wheel 2 case, which relates to truck wheels, does not necessarily have any interest or standing in Asia Wheel 1, and Commerce would not have heard any truck wheel specific arguments in Asia Wheel 1 in case there's any. Oh, I think my time is up. Can I just have a few minutes to finish up?
Maybe 1 minute.
Okay, please. Great. Yep, and in the Dial case, the Federal Circuit has found that a statement of future intention to consider an issue is not adequate notice. And we think the particular statement you mentioned from the previous round of questions from Asia Wheel 1 is at best that. And the fact that it's two different cases, separate records, just makes the Federal Circuit's reasoning from Dial case applies with actual force here. And on the third question, what do you argue would have provided adequate notice in this case? There were also agrees with plaintiff's counsel's arguments.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'll hear from the government, Mr. Desimi, and Ms. Kosi, I know, is at the table with you, so.
Thank you, and may it please the court. I'd like to start with a very short opening discussion of really the two overarching themes here. Number one, regarding the scope as it was originally drafted for the orders, it is broad enough to encompass the Type A wheels that Asia Wheel manufactured, where a disc that originated in China was further processed by being welded onto a rim that was produced in a different country. And second, turning to the question of notice, this is not an ordinary scope case. If it were an ordinary scope case, then the suspension of liquidation would have begun as of the date of initiation. But this was an IEPA proceeding originally, and it was Customs that made a determination in its interim measures decision that there was a reasonable suspicion that Asia Wheels merchandise was covered by the order. And at that time, Customs exercised its independent authority to suspend liquidation. And and the Diamond Tools case, the Suntech case, and NTI and Tai Au, all three of those recognize that if there's another suspension of liquidation in place, then the notice issue would be moved. So now I'll turn to the court's questions in turn, beginning with the most recent questions. First, the question is, do you agree with plaintiff's suggestion that Commerce misspoke or exhibited flawed reasoning in stating that the totality of the factors considered weigh against finding that rims manufactured in Thailand are substantially transformed? And really, Commerce did not misspeak, because you have to look at that phrase in conjunction with the preceding paragraph where the agency went over the different substantial transformation factors. Under production method A, the issue is whether trailer wheels that are manufactured using discs from China and rims produced in Thailand were subject to the orders. And because the rims are the only aspect in Thailand that use this production order, analyzing that input is necessary for the larger transaction. Question two discusses Suntech and Wolfson regarding notice in the Federal Register. Wolfson is very clear. It says it is well settled that when regulations are published in the Federal Register, they give legal notice of their contents to all who may be affected thereby. All, not just somebody to whom the notice is directed. And the Federal Register Act at 44 U.S.C. 1507 also states notice to a person subject to or affected by it. So not just parties who are subject to a notice. And additional question three, do we have support for the statement that Commerce may conduct substantial transformation analysis in the future? And yes, the answer is under Section 225J of the scope regulation. It states, in considering whether a product is covered by the scope of the order at issue, the Secretary may need to determine the country of origin. And Commerce has been using substantial transformation method for decades. So now turning to the court's October 25th questions. Once again, turning, this question asks, is Commerce's interpretation of the scope consistent with its plain language? And yes, it is. The scope language includes discs that were further processed in a third country. And the including but not limited to clause makes it clear that the one process identified need not start with both a Chinese disc and a Chinese rim. Second, the court asks to compare and contrast the Asia Wheels 1 and Asia Wheels 2 scopes. The main difference is that Asia Wheel 1 talks about discs, rims, and wheels, and Asia Wheels 2 talks about discs and rims. And we agree with the plaintiff that that should not make a difference in this case. This case did not involve the further processing of wheels in a third country. We disagree with the result, ultimate result, but we don't think there's a substantive difference between the scopes in the two cases. Second, the government allegedly suggests that, plaintiff suggests that Commerce, in conducting a substantial transformation analysis, considered just one component rather than the finished wheels, thus failing to apply the legal standard. And it's clear from the context that what Commerce meant was that the finished wheels are not the result of a substantial transformation that occurred in Thailand. Question three talks about Thai Al aluminum, and the federal talking about the notice requirement. And first, going back to one of the original themes that I discussed in the opening, the notice that plaintiffs received was the fact that customs imposed interim measures on subject merchandise. And but Thai Al does not compel the result that Asia Wheel contends, because one page before the page that the court cites, the court recognized that, quote, when Commerce rules that a product falls within the scope of an order, but there has been no previous suspension of liquidation, a new suspension must be ordered, beginning only with entries on or after the date of initiation. So only when there has been no previous suspension of liquidation, but here Customs suspended liquidation pursuant to its interim measures authority. That's Thai Al at 983 F3rd at 494. And put it another way, CBP has authority to suspend liquidation, quote, based on an ambiguous order. That's Suncream, the unbound Fed Circuit, 946 F3rd at 1319. And also the fact that Thai Al are distinguishable because in that case, Commerce had initially defined the scope as limited only to a single exporter, and it was only later when it added all exporters from the country at issue. That's not the issue here. Commerce remained relatively consistent with the scope of the order.
I just to make sure that I understand your position, the plaintiffs, in their response, as you know, on page 3, say that, in fact, Commerce itself acknowledged in the contested scope proceeding that importers lacked adequate notice that the truck wheels at issue could be subject to ADCBD orders until that date. Could you sort of elaborate on your response to that?
I would then turn to page 30 of the scope ruling, because the parties had been citing page 29, but if you look at page 30 of the final scope ruling where Commerce went on and talked about the actual suspension of liquidation and what really matters to Asia Wheel here, the agency said, quote, we have no authority to direct suspension of liquidation implemented by CBP. That's an unambiguous statement that Commerce wasn't going to touch Customs' suspension of liquidation, and that's all that happened here. That's the ultimate effect of the of Commerce's decision. I think we're at question 4. Can Customs ever continue the prior suspension of liquidation before the initiation? And the answer is yes. That's clear under Diamond Tools and under SunTech. In fact, EPA is unambiguous on what Customs does if it finds a reasonable suspicion of evasion. Question 5, the Federal Circuit has indicated that it is unnecessary for Commerce to engage in a game of whack-a-mole, would it be reasonably defined a class or kind of merchandise?
Isn't that your favorite word?
Yes, it is. And in fact, what the plaintiffs are really asking for here is not only a game of whack-a-mole, but a game of blindfolded whack-a-mole. Because if you look at the substantial transformation analysis, there's no way the agency can go through every permutation of every possible type of transformation that could occur in a third country. The Bell Supply Court made clear that that a substantial transformation analysis entails the class or kind of merchandise, the product's properties, the central component and intended end use, and then the 3, 4, and 5 are the nature and sophistication of processing in the country of exportation, the cost of production value added, and the level of investment. Those three prongs are incredibly fact-intensive, and they require an actual record. Here at the time of the initial orders, the product at issue, the Type A wheels, were entirely speculative. People talked about the product, but there was no information on the nature and sophistication of processing that would occur in the third country, or the cost of production added, or the level of investment, because there was no such product. So of course Commerce would have to conduct a substantial transformation analysis later. And question 6 and 7.
Right. Actually, before we get to that, can we go back for a moment to question 4?
Yes.
Particularly the plaintiff's response. This is the bottom of page 4. Here in the original AD/CVD investigations, Commerce failed to notify importers of even the possibility that steel wheels manufactured in third countries with discs or rims from China could be within the scope of the AD/CVD orders.
Well, in the during the Asia Wheel 1 proceeding, which is on the record in the Asia Wheel 2 proceeding, we'd have to go back to the investigation for Asia Wheel 1. That the relevant investigatory materials are on the record of this proceeding. And Commerce noted that it would have to make case-by-case determinations based on a substantial transformation analysis at that time. So Asia Wheel was on notice that as of 2019, that was how it was going to handle similar products. Questions 6 and 7 talk about basically what I call the persuasive value of Commerce's scope rulings in different cases. And Commerce's own regulation says that it will consider those scope rulings. So that the agency, through its own regulation, described the precedent that it would look to determine whether a new product was in or outside of a scope. And an importer conducting its due diligence, therefore, would necessarily look at scope rulings to make a determination beforehand as to whether its product was in or out. Just like they should look at judicial opinions regarding similar products, or customs rulings regarding classification. These are the sorts of things that that a reasonable importer would do. And for question B, for the plaintiff intervener, even though the plaintiff intervener, I believe, was not a party to the initial investigation, it still was aware of other scope rulings. Turning to question 8, it's asking about other cases. And what Asia Wheel contends is that Loper Bright calls Diamond Tools into question. And we don't believe that Loper Bright affects Diamond Tools. In Diamond Tools, the court used traditional tools of statutory interpretation under what was a Chevron Step 2 analysis to determine congressional intent. And what it did was it looked at legislative history, it looked at The overall intent of EPA, it looked at it looked at the statutes as a whole, and it concluded that, I'll quote from it, the purpose of the EPA was to empower the U.S. government and its agencies with the tools to identify proactively and thwart evasion at earlier stages, to improve enforcement of U.S. trade laws, including by ensuring full collection of AD and CBD duties, and thereby preventing a loss of revenue. That's at page 1351 in Diamond Tools. And that's all that Loper-Bright asks, is that courts use traditional tools of statutory interpretation when determining whether an agency's action is lawful if Congress didn't directly speak to an issue. And that's and it's clear from this case that that's what happened in Diamond Tools. Plus, the Supreme Court in Loper-Bright left previous precedent undisturbed that relied on Chevron Step 2. So Diamond Tools hasn't lost any persuasive value as based on Loper-Bright. For these reasons, we respectfully request that the court sustain the challenge determination.
And then just finally, as a sum up, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the plaintiff intervener's responses. I think you've covered your view on most of the answers provided by plaintiff intervener. But the plaintiff intervener concludes, as you know, that even if Commerce's statement that it did not foreclose a further analysis of substantial transformation provided adequate notice to the parties named in Asia Wheel 1, this statement did not and could not provide notice to the named parties consistent with the named parties' right to due process. That's their, theme. Do you want to speak to that again?
I think I spoke to that in that under the regulation, if this were a simple scope determination, then and there were no EPA proceeding, then everybody would have gotten suspension of liquidation as of the date of initiation. And that's the regulation, and nobody contests that provides due process. We do think that plaintiff intervener has a better case than Asia Wheel regarding notice, but that's not really relevant here because it was Customs that provided actual notice that under a statute that was duly enacted by Congress that its entries would be suspended and could be subject to duties under Customs' own authority under EPA. And if you look at the standard for the interim measures statute, it's a very different standard. It's a reasonable suspicion standard, not an actual determination or anything along those lines. And so Congress did intend for a much less stringent standard before duties might be imposed, and nobody has challenged the lawfulness of that. The constitutionality
of
that.
And when you say Congress did intend based upon the face of the statute?
Yes, on the face of the statute, it provided Customs with that authority and imposed a reasonable suspicion standard on the agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. The court will now hear from Mr. Birch for the defendant intervener.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. First address the question you posed today to defendant intervener regarding whether fact that rulings in other cases, whether that automatically means that the rulings can provide adequate notice. I would not say automatically no, but a question of adequate notice is very rarely going to be something automatic. Especially any questions that come up to this level, there's not a box that Commerce can check and say that's all we need to do, it's automatically done. in the, excuse me, the Federal Circuit in Transcom. This is at 182F3D 876, pages 882 through 883, described at that notice would be adequate if it is a reasonably informed party should be able to determine from the published notice in light of announced commerce policy whether particular entries may be affected by commerce's decision. So there, not just the published notice, it's the published notice and commerce's previously announced policies. There's no just one box that commerce has to check, like I said, to give notice. It's the summation of what has gone before as well. As also explained by the Federal Circuit in Mid-Continent Nails, that's at 725 F3D at page 1304, guidance on how commerce will approach a scope question may be found in its prior scope rulings, both rulings in the same order and others as commerce has set out in its regulations at 19 CFR 355-225K1. Now, thus, commerce's ruling under an extremely similar scope should have been highly informative to any reasonably informed interested party here. That is particularly true, as commerce never stated in its investigation here, that the scope ruling it gave there, that it was answering the RIM or DIS question. When commerce was even more explicit shortly after that ruling, as you noted in your question, that it, almost the same scope language, almost word for word, in the other, the trader wheel's order did not resolve the remedy of this question, that any reasonable party would have, could not have simply ignored that determination and proceeded though commerce said something that it did not hear and can only be found by twisting commerce words entirely away from their actual meaning. So no, notice is not automatic in every case, but the other, any similar scope determinations are highly relevant to the question here and should have been considered by any informed parties. Turning to just a couple points in rebuttal to the questions you asked plaintiff parties previously. I want to turn first to question three and the question you also asked this of government counselor counsel a few minutes ago about Asia Wheel's quotation in the scope ruling on this is on page 3 or 4 of Asia Wheel's response, talking about where Commerce mentioned the May 12, 2021 date. Asia Wheel pulls that completely out of context. Commerce was there specifically addressing its own authority under 351.225L of its regulations to suspend liquidations on entries that were not already suspended by Customs, because Asia Wheel was there arguing to Commerce that it couldn't even suspend them as of the date of the initiation, that it had to wait until the date of the preliminary decision, and that was the only time it then it argued it had adequate notice. Commerce disagreed, pointed to its own regulations, said for those that have the entries that have not yet been suspended, this is the day that applies. Asia Wheel also ignores the full text of Commerce's ruling, even in the same paragraph it selectively quotes from. Earlier in that paragraph, which admittedly is a long paragraph, Commerce quoted from the original investigation final determination in 2016 and stated that that determination, quote, Commerce conveyed to any reasonably informed importer sufficient notice that such merchandise may be the subject of a future scope inquiry. So, in sum, Asia Wheel's selective quotation here takes Commerce's actual ruling completely out of context and doesn't show that Commerce ever agreed with it regarding when adequate notice was given. Turning to another issue that's also after the question you just asked, Government's Counsel, under 6B that you asked for plaintiff intervener and what about named parties, and it answers, ZC Rubber claims that there are named parties to a scope determination and that its words, certain notice is only given to those parties. The basic assumptions of ZC's answer are incorrect. There are no named parties to a scope ruling such as this. Scope rulings are made on particular products, not particular parties. ZC Rubber relies heavily on Tai Au Aluminum, but without reading what actually went on in that case, Tai Au was not a scope determination similar to this one here, and Tai Au Commerce had undertaken an anti-circumvention inquiry. And as explained by the Federal Circuit, this is on page 495 of 983 F3D in Tai Au, that anti-circumvention inquiry can be undertaken on either a company-specific or a country-specific basis. In that case, they had started with a company-specific, named the company, went on to change it to a country-specific, and that's what the court considered was not adequate notice. Here, there was no named parties in the scope, the court said again, Mid-Continent Mail, 725 F3D at 1304, has explained that scope determinations are made on a product-specific basis. They're applicable to all parties. Whoever is producing these kind of wheels, that applies to them. It's not just to the parties named. All parties need to be aware of scope determinations. And I will end my presentation of that. If there are any questions I can address for you, Your Honor?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
So as mentioned at the outset, I will provide the parties with the opportunity for, since we're all here, for a further rebuttal of not more than 2 minutes each. Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Your Honor. So defendant's counsel noted that importers should do their due diligence and, you know, a reasonable importer would look at Commerce's prior scope determinations. Well, that's exactly what importers of both trailer wheels and truck wheels did, and they came to the conclusion that Asia Wheels, trailer wheels, and truck wheels are outside the scope. And we submit that they were correct and that Commerce's affirmative scope rulings to the contrary should be reversed. And at most, in Commerce's own words and defendant's own words, at most Commerce provided adequate notice in the original investigation that Asia Wheels, truck wheels might possibly be subject to the scope at a future date. That's not adequate notice under Title 8.0. Defendant's counsel also said that, you know, Commerce could not legally direct Customs to terminate its prior suspension and liquidation. That's wrong. That's based on a misreading of the case law and the statute itself. In some form, the facts of that case were different. Customs actually made a determination that merchandise was covered by an ambiguous order, and then Commerce later agreed and directed Customs to continue its prior suspension in accordance with the regulation. That is not what happened here. Customs, in fact, did not make any determination that Asia Wheels, truck wheels were within the scope. Customs was unable to make that determination and referred that question to Commerce. Commerce, in response, has the ultimate authority to answer the scope question, determine whether merchandise is covered merchandise. Covered merchandise under the EPA is defined as merchandise that is subject to the ABCD orders. In accordance with the broader due process principle of adequate notice, Commerce was lawfully obligated to direct Customs that any wheels, truck wheels imported before the initiation of the scope inquiry were outside the scope because importers lacked adequate notice. And I will discuss diamond tools in a post-argument submission. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Zhang. Now, counsel has argued that scope rulings are directed to products, not to parties. In
right.
Responding to your filing, so if you could address that as well.
Sure. On the question of whether a statement from a potentially similar case can provide adequate notice in the instant case, and related to the issue we just mentioned, scope ruling is directed to merchandise non-specific exporters. Setting those, our argument is that neither the government nor the defendant intervener addressed the quintessential arguments head on. Our argument is that based upon due process, the importers should not be required to exhaust what's potentially out there and be forced to guess around what's in DOC's mind. Adequate notice in this case means
Commerce must provide certain and meaningful notice that there's a meaningful opportunity that the truck rules that issue here, which only contains Chinese sticks, are subject to the ADCBD orders. And whether we look at Asia World 1 or Asia World 2, it's just simply not the case. And also there's for other cases, limits for other cases, there's no reason or opportunity for the importers in this case to rebut, which is raises fundamental due process issues, which is our position. That's all that.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Ticini?
Nothing more for the government, thank you.
Mr. Birch?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Plaintiffs here today have used the term level of certainty, and the plaintiffs in the plenary just now and in their arguments claim Commerce must give them certain notice. I'm not aware of any case where this court, and certainly not where the Federal Circuit, has ever applied a standard of certain notice to a scope determination. The term they use is adequate notice. It's never had to be certain. Commerce doesn't have to sit there and list every possible product so everybody knows exactly what is in and what is out. That's never been the case. In fact, that's been well recognized, as this court said in Bell Supply 6 at 393 F sub 3D, 1236-37, issues arising whether a product falls within the scope of an AD or CBD order, in part because federal regulations require Commerce to write the description in general terms. That's reflected in 19 U.S.C. 1671E, 1673E, and a number of other court decisions in court of the Federal Circuit in Nova Steel, 284F3D 1261. There is no certain notice. It's adequate notice. It's could a reasonable party, having looked at this, decided that there's a possibility that their products will be in this, will be covered by the scope. In this case, that is definitely the case. Commerce, in the original investigation, looked at a rim and disc wheel, was very specific, that's the question it was answering, and said that the scope covers that product as well as other products. It was specific that the scope was more expansive, and so any reasonable party would understand there's a possibility that Commerce could apply a substantial transformation analysis and determine that other wheels, including a disc or rim wheel, could be held within scope, and that's exactly what Commerce did when that question was finally asked. It. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. As the Court indicated at the outset, the parties may file a post-argument submission of not more than 1,500 words, and that will be due on November 22nd. The court would like to thank all counsel for very enlightening filings and arguments, and may not be seeing you before Thanksgiving, but wish you all a good holiday. The court is adjourned.
All right. Court stands adjourned.